Greetings, everybody. Thanks, Zany Mystic, for that lovely introduction to the show. And for those out there who didn't catch the show before mine, mark 6 p.m. in your diaries for next week, as Fireside Chat is one of the best new shows on BBS Radio. And Zany is a great friend and a tireless worker for the light. And welcome to Otherwhere, the show designed to help you get a handle on your hologram. Yes, I'm Liz Miller, and I'll be your host for the next 2 hours as Otherwhere streams live to you from Melbourne, Australia, via the digital airwaves of bbsradio.com on the web. If you've never heard this show before, thanks for joining me. I'm so excited about this week's program. And you might have also noticed I'm in a brand new time slot. It's great to be here, and I want to extend a very affectionate hello to all the hardcore Otherwhere listeners out there who've made the time jump with me. It's really because of your support and amazing encouragement that Otherwhere is now on at a time when even more people can tune in. So thank you. Now, what's all this about getting a handle on your hologram? Well, that's a very playful way of saying that each week on the show, we explore the ways which can help you stimulate and awaken your multidimensional awareness and anatomy. That's why this show is called Otherwhere. It's a word that describes anything that, I believe, can unlock the inbuilt but often latent key codings within your DNA that activate, enhance, or evolve our spiritual light body technologies in accordance with our original divine holographic blueprint. These are abilities such as telepathy and remote sensing, spontaneous and remote acts of healing, telekinesis, synesthesia, astral traveling and lucid dreaming, timeline jumping, DNA repatterning, conscious and trance channeling, and many, many other paradigm-busting abilities. Every day, more and more people are shifting and expanding their views of themselves and the world, and I know many of you out there have begun to notice an accelerated awakening in your own consciousness, or would like to experience that more, which is why you're listening. So it's my hope that this program can help to illuminate your path with ageless wisdom and inspiration, and provide practical tools you can use to imbue your life with a greater sense of empowerment and fulfillment. So if you're ready to take a deeper look inside that magnificent light-filled being that you are, and would like to collectively generate powerful waves of love to send around our planet, this show is for you. This week, we'll be talking about one of the most otherwhere-enhancing pastimes there is, if you know where to find the best material, that is, reading life-expanding books. Getting settled with a good book and a cup of tea somewhere peaceful is something I personally adore, and reading has been an enduring favourite pastime in many cultures and for people of all ages. Finding yourself transported into previously uncharted territory as you leaf through the pages of a good book can shift your outlook on life and give you a whole new, wonderful view on living. Reading is a door to a world of wonder. You can open it and find beauty or intrigue, mystery or life's lessons. Yes, but how do you sift your way through the infinite number of publications out there to find the most transformative materials you can? Keep listening, as the most transformational books, films, and even magazines serve as the focus for our show, with returning guest to Otherwhere, Fred Burks, one of the most inspiring and transformational people I know. He'll be joining me later to talk about his commitment to creating a new paradigm in our world, and get into some of our all-time favourite books, as well as the current two that we're reading, which are fabulous, and we'll run you through some of the top picks sent in by former Otherwhere guests and listeners. We'll be sharing Fred's simple keys for a fuller life with you, and together we'll be guiding you into a deliciously soothing and profoundly life-affirming web of love meditation at the end of the program to help you unwind from the week and the outside world. And besides all of that, I have got some sizzlingly hot new music to play, including a promo of the upcoming release from Dennis Ferrer on King Street Records, which is called Underground Is My Home. calling all you deep househeads. This one's not out till July 24, but you can hear it exclusively right here on Otherwear. But first, I've got a couple of announcements that I'd like to make right at the top of the show. And this is especially for all the book lovers who've tuned in. I've recently asked all my former guests, as well as members of the Otherwear Network on Yahoo Groups, for their reading suggestions, and I've posted the complete list at both the bbsradio.com website and my blog. So why don't you go there now and take a look at the fabulous titles that we've amassed. If you're on the bbsradio.com homepage right now, all you need to do is scroll down to the show schedule and find Otherwear at 7 p.m. on Fridays and click on Show Info. Or you can go to otherwear.blogspot.com and check them out there. I've had submissions from quantum physicist Dr. Fred Allen Wolf, Dr. Francesca McCartney from Intuition Medicine, galactic emissaries and healers Lisa Renee and Dominique Target, abductee researcher and psychologist Mary Rodwell, sound healers Carmen Warrington and David Jones, Fred Burks, and many others. I'll be adding to that page too as more lists come in. So if you'd like to send yours in, we'd love to have it. You can email me at otherwearhost@yahoo.com or add it to the comments at my blogette. During the break, kick off your shoes and get settled in, because when Otherwear returns, Fred Burks will join us on the line from San Francisco. But before we do that, I want to start the show with a beautiful slice of deep house heaven that I want to dedicate to all of the aforementioned guests and lightworkers and all the amazing people behind the scenes at bbsradio.com, to Spirit, and especially to all the members of the Otherwear Circle of Light for making this show such a great success. The first time I really heard this track was probably after the third play. Once they got in, though, the subtle harmonies and deep, soulful lyrics found their way into my heart and would not let go. And I'm glad, because this is a production from one of Chicago's greatest house DJs, producers, and former Prescription Records label boss, Shay D. Without doubt, one of the standout tracks for me of 2004. It's out on Track Mode Recordings from the US. Features the vocals of Leroy Burgess. Here's to all of you, and thank you. And it's called Your Love Lifted Me Up.
Right beside me, that's where you'll be. sit here at this table with my family and my friends. Right beside me, that's where you'll be, watching over everything and everybody. With your tender, precious love, I am always safe and sound. And the darkness once before me disappears from me. Someday I find your love.
One of the best things in life is to be in the company of others who reflect back to us our own inner potential and beauty and serve as inspirations as we watch them walk their talk. Over the last 8 months, I've had the privilege to meet many such individuals, but one such person stands out from the rest, as he is someone who is deeply committed to building a brighter future for us, our children, and for the world. And he has a very special connection to this program and to all the regular listeners and members of the Otherwhere Circle of Lights. His name is Fred Burks, and he has been a regular guest on Otherwhere since it began. And he's the creator of the Web of Love meditation, where our circle joins together on the inner planes to kick off our relaxation sessions at the end of each show. And besides the amazing conversations we always have, through a series of wonderful synchronicities, he's joining us again as the first guest in our new time slot, and he will once again be guiding us into another blissful meditation. Fred is the creator of the webofLove.org, momentoflove.org, and inspiringcommunity.org websites, which are excellent resources for some of the most transformational information available on the net. And until 2004, Fred served as an interpreter in the Indonesian language for Presidents Bush and Clinton, Vice Presidents Gore and Cheney, Secretaries of State Powell and Albright, and numerous other top officials. Having worked for 18 years as an interpreter with the US Department of State, you may be interested to learn that he is also, quote, somewhat of a deep insider and whistleblower, and has co-created another website dedicated to exposing major cover-ups called wanttoknow.info. And as this is the first show at our new time slot on Friday evenings, if you've never heard Otherwhere before, I couldn't think of a better guest to introduce you to. So please stay tuned for the next couple of hours, as among some of the subjects we'll be discussing will be transformational books and other materials. So this is going to be a fantastic program for all of the book lovers out there. We invite you to open up to powerful transformation from within, and hopefully together we can all use this time together to more effectively join in transforming both our personal lives and the world around us through love, inspiration and empowerment. And after that very long introduction, I can finally bring him on the air. Fred Burks, welcome to Otherwhere once again.
Hi Liz, it's great to be back with you and with all your listeners.
Thank you. Now, it's great to have you back on for all of the reasons that I listed above, but especially because of this subject that we're going to be covering today, which is the most transformational books, movies, even magazines that we've been fortunate enough to have come into our lives and help shift or expand our own views of the world. And, you know, when you think about what you can find out there, with the bookstores generally these days having quite large mind, body, spirit sections, it can be really overwhelming to someone who's kind of just venturing out into that part of the bookstore for the very first time. Which books do you choose? Which ones are going to help the most? And hopefully together we can help guide some people towards some of the better material out there.
Sounds like a great topic.
It does. So tell me what you've been reading lately.
Oh, my goodness. I just wanted to mention first something that you and I were actually just talking about a little earlier, that it is such a blessing, really, that when you are kind of playing big on what I call a transformation team, which means you're not afraid anymore to let all of your wonderful spirit and loving energy flow out uninhibited, then you start attracting that back to you. And through your work on the radio and my work on the internet websites, I'm getting information all the time from all sorts of people saying, oh, you should look at this and you should look at that. And thankfully, it hasn't been overwhelming, but it's just such a joy to see all of this great stuff coming in. You know, our topic today is to talk about inspiring resources, but at the same time, I think it's really important that we recognize the disempowering forces that are going out there.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more and more of both of those, and that actually some of the most inspiring stuff is the material that opens us to being able to recognize and digest uncomfortable information, which then allows us to work towards integrating, you know, all the different parts of ourselves, you know, some of which are not very pretty, quite honestly, but that we want to work to transform so that we can work towards integration of all of us.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the work that you're doing with wanttoknow.info, because this is a website that you've created that is delivering reliable, verifiable information that's discussing major cover-ups and stuff that the major media aren't really covering that much, or if they are, it's not on the front page. Why is it so important for you to be doing this work at this time?
Well, first, I just have to say it's not just myself that created the website. I'm kind of the main force, but there's all sorts of people, and it's some amazing people that are helping out with the website. But as to why I created it, it's basically about 4 years ago, I had no idea of what I now call the major cover-ups going on. I knew there was lots of cover-ups and corruptions, of course, at all different levels. That's, we all know that. But about 4 years ago, I got some information that just shook me to my core, and I realized, oh, my God, I was basically blind to a whole deeper level of manipulation that was going on. And once I saw that, I said, okay, I opened up and sent out a prayer, help me to see what's really out there. I do want to know, which is where the name of the website came from, Want to Know. And then over the next year, year and a half, I was just inundated with all of this information, stuff that I had no idea was going on. And thankfully, a lot of it was from very reliable sources. And when I saw this, I said, well, wait a minute, is anybody compiling this and putting this all together in a coherent way that people could read and digest? And I literally searched the web, could not find anybody doing it. And I said, well, I better do it. So that's when I started, you know, really working on it, working with a whole group of people to compile in as concise and digestible a form as possible all of this information into one website.
And it's really important that someone out there is doing it, because when you talk to people in your daily life about cover-ups that are going on, a lot of the time, the response that you'll receive is, oh, that's just, you're just making that up, or you're just being paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually compiling a lot of news reports from mainstream news sources. And so
right.
Being able to have a resource like the wanttoknow.info website means that you can actually go there and say, well, look, this is what the New York Times said, or this is what the Guardian said in London.
Right.
And it does give a little bit more weight to your argument, doesn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, I encourage people to be skeptical. And, you know, I've been skeptical all along, too. Sometimes information will go on and say, no, that can't be true. Somebody is just exaggerating here. And then I'll go and examine it carefully. And when I was first getting into this, most of the time it actually turned out being true. But sometimes it was not. And the only way I could determine whether the information was true or not was to really go and look at the sources, who's talking, what's their agenda, and then use my own sort of discerning facilities to really look. And then on the website, I only put the very strongest information from the best sources. So on the website, you probably know, we only use the very top media, generally the top 12 newspapers in the United States, the top three or four in Britain, the top four television stations, and then government documents and other things that are generally respected by all people.
Can you tell me a little bit about the individuals who are controlling that media? Because the last that I heard was that there were eight.
Well, interesting. See, I will refrain from ever saying that these people are in control, because what I have found in all the cover-ups is when you get into the details, it's much, much more complex than anybody would expect. And anybody who's trying to make it too simple, I just will basically discount a lot of what they're saying. Because what you find is that there's factions in every group. And if it is eight main people controlling the newspaper, I can guarantee you there's factions within those eight that want a certain agenda and others that want another more. And that basically within every being, every person on this planet and every being in the universe, there is a part that just wants to unite and grow and love, and there's another part that wants to disempower and shut down and separate. And it's within me, it's just within you, within everyone, it's within whoever's ruling the newspapers. So I just definitely will avoid talking about things in too simple terms, which is not to say we can't make some generalizations. And yes, I do think there's a relatively small group that has power over the media, but I think some there really do want to get some information out, not too much at one time, and others definitely don't want certain information getting out.
So tell me, Fred, what have you been covering lately on the wanttoknow.info website?
Oh, let's see. I can tell you, if you go to wanttoknow.info and you click on the left side, there's you can highlight key media articles. And that's where you can see all the most recent information that has been put up and gone out. And there's been some amazing things coming out lately. For instance, this year's meeting of the Bilderberg Group, which many people have not heard of, but it's probably about the most powerful mainstream group that I've heard of that meets once a year on this planet. And they've been meeting since, I believe, it's 1954, so over 50 years. And it's generally, I think it's about 130 people every year, and it's absolutely the top people, and I'll mention in a minute who those people are. But the amazing thing is, in the past, anybody who talked about this stuff was immediately branded a conspiracy theorist. Bilderberg Group, what are you talking about, you know, the power elite and all of this sort of stuff. And it was never, virtually never mentioned in the mainstream media. But then 2 years ago, BBC did a significant article on the Bilderberg Group. And everyone went, whoa, suddenly, if BBC is talking about this, what does that mean? The following year, last year, BBC did another piece and a couple other media chimed in. This year, the press actually gave some significant coverage to the Bilderberg meeting.
Actually, I noticed that, and I was really, really surprised, but it was a good sign.
Oh, it's an amazing sign. And so what I did, if you go to that key media articles section and you just scroll down a bit, I think it was, here, I can tell you the exact date. It was on June 26th, 2006. These are by date. You'll see one title that goes BBC, CNN, Canadian Press on ultra-secret meeting of the top global elite. And if you click on that and go look at it, I have links to the BBC news articles, to the CNN broadcast about the Bilderberg Group, and also to top Canadian newspapers talking about this group. And that's where you'll hear, read about, and these are from the press reporting some of the main people who are there. Maybe I'll just read it down a short list and see if people don't recognize some of these names. For instance, you have Henry Kissinger as one of the people, David Rockefeller. You have the CEOs of Coca-Cola, Daimler Chrysler, several of the oil companies. Bill Clinton went there before he was elected president. And Tony Blair, before he was chosen to run for prime minister, went there. Robert Zoellick, who's the former head of the business department, I'm blanking on the name, Commerce Department, and then the heads of the World Bank. You're talking about the absolute top ruling people on the planet are all coming together, 130 people. And this list of names I'm reading is coming from the Toronto Star, which for anybody who lives in Canada knows that Toronto Star is one of the two top newspapers, Globe and Mail being the other, in all of Canada. So that's just a little sample of the quality of material we're presenting. Again, that was from the Ottawa Citizen. There's lots from BBC, an interview with the head of the Builder Group on BBC, which is just amazing because in the past they were totally secret.
Oh, my God, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Just seriously, this was, it's amazing to read that piece. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. Yes, it was September 29th, 2005. You can click on the link, which takes and shows you this article right on the BBC website. Title is Inside the Secretive Bilderberg Group. It states, the chairman of the secretive Bilderberg Group is 73-year-old Viscount Etienne d'Avignon, corporate director and former European commissioner. And for those who don't know, the European commissioner is the one who heads up the European Commission, and most current and past European commissioners have been members of this Bilderberg Group. So there you have 130 people of the most powerful people on the planet meeting once a year. Have you heard about before? Most people haven't. But here it is on BBC, and if you go to wantoknow.info and open that the email, as I mentioned, you can actually link through and read it right there on the BBC.
Now, we should probably say that the reason why this is so shocking to hear this news and to have revelations like who this guy is that for so long we haven't known exactly what they do when they get together. And I mean, well, what do you think 130 of the most powerful people in the world do when they get together, Fred?
Well and the fact is that for 50 years, anybody who talked about it was branded a conspiracy theorist.
Exactly.
And, of course, we all know that has such negative meanings. But now, is the BBC a conspiracy group because they're reporting on this? Suddenly, because the BBC and CNN and others are talking about it, it's not a conspiracy theory anymore. But yet, for so many years, they've been trying to paint it that way.
Well, it's just another little signpost along the way for me to show that the world is definitely opening up and that things are changing. They're definitely changing.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, we've sort of gotten a little bit off topic here, but this is part of the inspiration.
It is.
Is the fact that people are speaking out and becoming brave about being willing to talk what's really going on in the world.
Sure,
and then
is.
Once we have that information, we can actually move more clearly and more powerfully to create transformation through love and empowerment. I think it has to do with, is each of us willing to open up to powerful and empowering transformation? And the more we're ready for that, the more we'll find it everywhere we turn.
Well, one of the best ways to find material that will serve to inspire us is through books. And that's really what we're here to talk about. There have been two books in particular that we are going to be focusing on during the show because they're the two books that Fred and I have both been reading at the moment, and they are Cosmic Journeys by Rosalind McKnight and a book called Path of Empowerment by Barbara Marciniak. And those are the books that we've been reading respectively. Although, since we decided to do this show, we actually did a little bit of a swap, and I got a copy of Cosmic Journeys and Fred got a copy of Path of Empowerment.
Yes,
so
it
will be a lot of fun to talk about our perceptions of the books and what we got out of them, because they're just both such incredible books. Firstly, let's talk about Cosmic Journeys and how you found your way to that book.
Well, this has been very exciting for me because I've been committed to love and transformation for my entire adult life and even much of my childhood. And so I am very blessed to occasionally get material sent my way that just blow me away and cause me to open up and expand my view of reality. It doesn't happen very often that I'll get one that really blows me away like that. But I'd say every 5 to 10 years it'll happen. And then just recently, this is one of the books that this happened with, The Cosmic Journeys by Rosalind McKnight. Basically, a wonderful spiritual friend of mine who lives out in Texas visited me in California, where I live. I live in Berkeley, near San Francisco. And he came by, and we're talking about some wonderful, deep, transformative information and inspiration. And he said, you know, Fred, have you read Robert Monroe's books? And I said, well, I certainly know who Robert Monroe is. The Monroe Institute was one of the most famous institutes that really was exploring cutting-edge things like remote viewing, which is where people could actually see in a distance what was happening anywhere. And they're working with out-of-body travel, but in a very scientific way. And so I said, well, you know, I've heard of the Monroe Institute, but I've never read the books. And he said, you've got to go read Far Journeys. And so that's the one I actually read first, is a book called Far Journeys by Robert Monroe. And that first book just blew me away with the quality of information that he was giving. Because basically Robert Monroe started having out-of-body experiences back in 1958, I believe it was. And it was spontaneous. He wasn't even trying it. He wasn't on drugs or anything. And it scared the hell out of him. The first thing he wanted to do was just jump back into his body. He thought, because Freddy's dying or going crazy. And it was only after this happened repeatedly, not wanting it to happen, but repeatedly, a number of times he realized, oh, this is safe. It keeps happening. Well, maybe I should just start exploring it. and he put on his sort of scientific mind and really started exploring this out-of-body realm. And then the book just goes on from there and gets deeper and deeper, and he goes and explores even realms outside of this physical third-dimensional reality. And that's where it really started blowing me away, when he starts describing places that are beyond time-space and what's going on there. So I was so excited by this book, Far Journeys, that I went ahead and ordered all three of his books, and then eventually found out that one of the people who was a part of his team, and he had this journeyer's team, was a woman named Rosalind McKnight, and that she had written a book that looked really good. And so that's I read two of Monroe's books first, and then I got Cosmic Journeys. And Cosmic Journeys is even deeper. And I guess the reason I'll tell you, Liz, that I suggest you start with that one is because Cosmic Journeys really comes from the heart in talking about deep, powerful, expanded realities. Monroe is great. He's awesome. But he's more like very analytical. He's definitely spiritual, but coming from kind of an analytical viewpoint, describing these extremely expanded realities. And Cosmic Journeys is the same quality, but it's more coming from the heart. And so that's why when I read this book, it's like, oh, my whole being just resonated and was just so excited. And that's why I can just, anybody who's interested in sort of expanded realities beyond our own here and getting back in touch with the real big, deeper meaning of life, I can't recommend this book, Cosmic Journeys, highly enough.
Oh, Fred, there were so many times when I read the book where I just had the hugest smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure
you
had the same experience.
Yes. And not just that, feeling my whole being literally resonating and expanding.
Yeah. And that sparks off so many things that I want to ask you about. But before I go off on those little journeys,
right,
tangential journeys, one of the best parts of the book for me was knowing that what I was reading were actually words taken off recordings that
That's
were
right.
made at the time. So this wasn't just about what she was remembering. This was actually word for word what she was saying at the time, each time she had an out-of-body experience. Would you please tell the listeners a little bit more about that?
Yes, well, see, Robert Monroe was really an amazing man. Like I said, he was a very successful businessman. He owned several radio stations. He was an expert in sound technologies. And once he got used to having these out-of-body experiences, he says, well, this is really cool. He got to really enjoy it and love it after getting over his initial fear. Then he started developing technologies that help people to get there, because he wanted other people to be able to have this experience too. So being a sound engineer and expert, and being not super wealthy, but very well off because he owned all these stations and everything, he took the time to develop what's called HemiSync technology. And some of our listeners probably have heard of this, where you put on headphones and it sends these pulse tones into the ears, but slightly off sync. It's called HemiSync. And it forces the two hemispheres of your brain to work together in a way that they don't normally in daily life.
That's right. It's also known as binaural beats.
Yes, it's also called binaural beats. Yeah, so Robert Monroe is the founder of all that stuff. And so then, that forces the two hemispheres to work together. And often the two separate distinct tones create a third tone when it comes in resonance. So I think a lot of people can understand that that would create an altered state in your mind. And then he developed this whole institute where he developed special quiet chambers where people laid on water beds in a very comfortable, controlled environment, put on these headsets, and they were given instructions to how to relax and open up so that then their spirit might leave its body if it was ready. And so he started testing this, of course, on all sorts of people, Rosalind McKnight being one of the first of those. And some people just naturally jumped right out of their bodies and had these amazing experiences the first time. He has some great stories of that. And he was so careful in everything. He always took notes and always recorded everything that happened. And so what's amazing about Cosmic Journeys, as you mentioned, is these are literal transcribed recordings of some of her sessions. And they will just blow you away with the things that she did. And then you can see she's actually interacting with Robert Monroe. It's kind of like hypnosis, where the hypnotherapist can actually be in communication with a person who's in a completely altered state. So it's very, very exciting material.
It is. I love the way that the sessions had a progression to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things that we find out is that when she is out of the body, she has what she calls her invisible helpers.
Yes.
And these invisible helpers guide her through these out-of-body journeys each time she leaves her body and take her progressively into more and more expanded states of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But we start off in the earlier chapters with getting into the consciousness of the earth and the elements and the animals.
Yes.
And kind of working, she worked her way from a frog through to a snake into a rose.
Right, got to experience what it was like to be each of those.
Yeah, and you know, right. I've read a lot of channeled material,
mm-hmm.
but I've never ever heard messages from roses or frogs or
yes, and in ways that were very unexpected. Didn't you find like, wow, yes, oh, yeah. That makes so much sense, but I'd never imagined that.
Yeah, actually, I'd really love to read out what the roses had to say, because it's quite brilliant,
oh, yeah.
but it's just so beautiful. She says, as I come into the rose, I sense its consciousness communicating the following. We bring beauty to the earth. However, we are a reflection of the beauty that is within all humans. When they look upon us and experience the joy of beauty, they are experiencing their own true natures. Our very essence is a pure state of joy and beauty. Those who experience the essence of our nature experience the true essence of their own being. We find such joy in giving our pure beauty to humans, and we bring joy to so many on planet Earth.
Beautiful.
It's so beautiful, and it gives you a perspective that, I mean, I had never thought about roses in that way before, but now every time I look at one,
mm-hmm.
I will never look at another rose the same way.
Well, and what I love, too, because now when I look at a rose, I see not just that rose, but I see the collective of all roses, kind of the family of roses communicating with me through this one rose.
Yeah, and one of the things that she says is that it was such a good feeling being inside it that she could have just stayed there. But the
right.
message was that she can live in this rose consciousness of pure beauty and joy at any time.
Right.
That these are frequencies that are able to be accessed by us no matter where we are or what we're doing.
That's right. And they're actually a part of us. And that's yes. what the rose was communicating.
Yeah.
We have all these different parts of us that if we choose to, we can have them already available so that they're already fairly integrated into our being.
Tell me about some of the sections in the book that really affected you, Fred.
Well, I think right in the beginning there's a funny one. You talked about the four helpers.
Yes.
And by the way, that was unique to her. Other experiencers had totally different experiences. And Robert Monroe always did his best to make sure they did not communicate with each other. He would have them come in and they wouldn't know what each other's doing so that he could really get the pure experience. And some people had guides and others didn't. Robert Monroe didn't have guides that came to him right away. It was almost always later on that he would run into them. But anyway, a funny thing that happened in the early stages with Rosalind's experiences is every time, as soon as she started, there was always these four guides, and she felt so loved and accepted and completely trusted these guides. She just knew that these guides had been working with her whole life. That was beyond doubt. And why? Simply because in that expanded state, that's what was real and true for her. But the funny thing that happened was, she'd been going for less than a year doing these experiments on a regular basis, and one time she couldn't make it. And so Robert Monroe had another woman from, I think, was she press or something like that, who was, you know, exploring what's going on here. This is really strange out there stuff. But she was very skeptical, but he always welcomed skeptics and said, well, come see if you want to try it. And so, you know, even though she was skeptical, he said, well, listen, you want to try it? And she, like, you can tell she was a little bit nervous and said, well, I guess I'll try it. And so he stuck her into this booth. Now, he had a number of booths. I don't know how many, you know, 5 to 10 different booths that people would use. But Rosalind always used this one particular booth at a certain time every week. And Rosalind didn't make it. He said, oh, I'll just put this woman in. And he put her into Rosalind's booth at that time. Put on the stuff. And what happened was a surprise and a shock to Monroe, to this woman, and later to Rosalind, too, is that she started, you know, she put on the headphones, got into a relaxed state, and almost immediately she felt these four beings coming and trying to do something to her. And she was a little bit freaked. She said, well, there's these four beings. And then the beings started having a discussion with each other. It's like, wait a minute, is this the right person? And she was reporting all of this back to Monroe because, you know, Monroe always would have them talking with her. She says, well, they're talking about whether or not they should take me out of my body. And he said, well, do you want to go out of your body? And she's like, no. And finally, you see the beings come to agreement. No, they're not going to take her out of her body, and she leaves. And so then, you know, she comes out of the sessions, and he says, well, what do you think? She's like, she didn't really want to talk about it. It was so clear to her that she experienced these four beings. And, of course, this shows something strange about the beings, too, is that they are focused in on a time and a location. And they didn't immediately recognize that it wasn't Rosalind.
Well, yeah, and that sort of indicates that they see us in a particular way as light beings.
Yes.
Rather than people with individual features. So,
well, and it,
so
yes,
it was easy to get confused.
Yes, and it shows that these beings are not all-knowing. You know, some
yes.
of us, I think, have a tendency to want to say our guides, you know, they know everything about us. They know what's best for us always. And, you know, I don't see it that way. I see that there's many levels of awareness. And certainly we would hope that the guides who are guiding us have a higher, more expanded awareness than ourselves. But there are many, many, many levels, which is what this book goes into, of expanded consciousness. And so that our guides don't always know what's best. But they certainly are a wonderful asset to have. And my thing, as you know, Liz, is to always ask the guides to lead me towards whatever is best for all of us, whatever is best for all beings, for the entire universe. And by having this sort of as my deepest foundation, my deepest intention, and asking my guides to share that intention with me, I find I just keep moving forward at a wonderful, powerful, expansive rate.
Oh, yeah. One of the most powerful affirmations that I use mm-hmm. is I align this day with my higher self for the greatest good and greatest good of all.
And beautiful.
It's just so simple, but it sets up an energetic in your day that just
yes.
changes things for the better. And it's just very simple little tools like that that I hope that we can share more of throughout the show.
Yeah, well, you know, I'd actually like to hit a little bit stronger on this, Liz, and I'm really thrilled. I don't think you've shared that with me before, and I love it. But, you know, we talked about just a minute ago about how complex things are in trying to explain all the details. And yet, even though there's all this complexity, at the same time, to me, life is very simple because the basic principles upon which I run my life are very simple. And as you just said so beautifully, would you repeat again, once again, your main thing? Because I love it.
I align this day with my higher self for my greatest good and the greatest good of all.
Beautiful. And that's very similar to my deepest one, which is up on my wall here in my room, which I always read every morning and before I go to bed at night. And it has two versions. One is, I'll do my best to choose what's best for all of us. And another way of saying that same thing is, I give all that I am into the service of all that is. To me, this is the most powerful thing, because once you get it, that it's about being aligned with all beings. It's about opening to integration with all the parts of myself and all the parts of all beings and moving towards that continually. Then it's like magic happens all the time. Transformation happens all the time. And my life has gotten so smooth and wonderful. And not that I don't have difficult times, but I actually have way less than most people. And almost always I'm able to see the difficulties as powerful learning lessons. And I really credit it to this deepest intention, which is very similar to yours, Liz.
Yes, it is. Well, we've got to take a break. I wish we didn't have to right now. We're in the middle of such a great conversation, but I do need to have a little bit of a break for the listeners, and I want to play some music as well. This is brand new. It's called Underground Is My Home, and it's not released until the 24th of July. It's a brand new release on King Street Records out of New York, our proud sponsors here at Otherwear, from Dennis Ferrer, one of my very favorite house producers from New York City, with the vocals of Tyrone Ellis. This is the main mix of Underground Is My Home. And when we come back, we'll be rejoining Fred Burks and continue our dialogue about some of the most transformative books and other materials that have crossed our path. We're also going to talk about Fred's Simple Keys for a Fuller Life, which I'm sure are the result of much processing of so many of these transformative materials, and that'll be coming up in just a few minutes on Otherwhere. Is a place that I call home. Deep, deep, where the sun don't shine. Is a place that I call home. Where the planetary alignment is right. And the DJ cuts out the light. Deep is where I'm home. Deep, deep, where the sun don't shine. Is a place that I call home. Ooh, it is, yeah. Where the planetary alignment is right. And the DJ cuts out the light. Is where I'm home. DJ cuts out the light. Deep
Underground is my home. Well, I think so. It's the latest one from Dennis Ferrer, as I mentioned earlier. He is probably one of the hottest tickets in the house world at the moment. He is a mega deep house producer and super hot right now. I think that is as purely deep can get. You're listening to Otherwhere, bringing you the hottest tracks direct from the underground. Keep it deep, kids, keep it real deep. Stemming from his forthcoming full-length album on King Street, at the moment it's appropriately still in the underground, just having been leaked out to a few internet radio stations like this one. But once it sees its commercial release, I don't think it's going to be underground for long. I absolutely cannot wait for the album to be released, and for the next single especially, which I've only heard down the phone, but it features a gospel vocal that is amazing, and I think it's probably his best yet, but we'll just have to wait a little longer for that one. Now let's get back to some deep reading. Fred Burks will be back again soon, but before we continue with our conversation, which I hope you're enjoying as much as I am, I want to read some excerpts from books I've loved throughout my life. So here's something from one of those books. It's called Initiation from Elizabeth H, which is spelled H-A-I-C-H. This is especially for all of you who heard the last program with William Henry on Egypt and the Pyramids, and I wanted to read this out because it provides a new perspective on the pyramids, our bodies, and the Ark of the Covenant. By the time this was published in 1965, Elizabeth had become a celebrated yoga teacher and author on metaphysics, and she's also part of my yogic lineage, as she was the teacher of the teacher of my yoga teacher. And this biographical novel describes in detail her memories of being an initiate in Egypt during the time of the pharaohs. During one of her lessons with her teacher, the high priest Ptahotep, one of the, quote, sons of God who built the great Egyptian civilization, he tells her about the mysteries of the Ark. For me, this account resonates at a very deep level. Perhaps it will for you too. Only man has the ability to master and to radiate all 7 octaves of vibration. As the nervous centres corresponding to the 7 octaves of transformed and untransformed creative power exist in his nervous system. On the other hand, he is only able to radiate vibrations on the levels on which he has become conscious. Because until he becomes conscious on a given level, the corresponding nerve centres remain in a latent condition. Thus, the average human being will radiate vibrations up to the 4th plane, the genius up to the 5th, the prophet up to the 6th, and only the God-man is able to consciously radiate all 7 octaves and to radiate the divine creative power according to his own will. An initiated person is able to radiate in any desired degree all forces of creation, from the highest divine forces to the lowest ultramaterial forces. The fact that the body of the God-man is able not only to bear the highest frequencies, but also the transformed vibrations of all other octaves, means that there must be a form of matter with the resistive force necessary to withstand and to conduct the divine creative force as well as all the other transformed frequencies of the lower octaves, without being dematerialized. Hence, the sons of God in their homeland invented a material, a kind of brass, of which they constructed devices for storing or radiating, either amplified or diminished, the very highest creative frequencies, either in their original or in transformed manifestation. These devices are so constructed that they keep the creative force in pure, unchanged form. Consequently, over a long period, they act as a source of divine power, like life itself. Because the very highest of these devices, which carries and radiates the creative force, represents a perfect union, as perfect as a marriage between the divine and the material frequencies, between God and the earth, we call this incredibly powerful conductor of force that is charged with the frequency of the divine self, the Ark of the Covenant. Now you know why we keep these devices so secret. The God-man who has developed his highest abilities can use these devices with impunity, as the Ark of the Covenant contains and radiates the same force as he himself, the force which he himself is. A person on a lower level, however, if he were merely to touch the Ark, would fall over dead momentarily as if struck by lightning. For the same reason, uninitiated people cannot be allowed in the vicinity of our devices, and even more, as these devices radiate the most powerful energy, we must keep them carefully hidden behind massive walls of rock, providing the greatest insulation. Life energy itself has a lethal effect when it strikes a form of matter which doesn't have the necessary resistance. The matter is dematerialized, dissolved. And just as the Earth, through its gravitational pull, affects matter and attracts it, we can work against the gravitational pull of the Earth in every form of matter without exception, and consequently overcome its weight, and render it weightless for a shorter or longer period of time. When necessary, we can even do the opposite, i.e., work with the gravitational pull of the Earth and increase the weight of an object as much as we want through the ultramaterial rays. In this way, even the greatest blocks of stone are rendered weightless for a period of time, so that the largest buildings you can think of can be built with the greatest of ease, or the weight of the stones can be increased to such an extent that they sink into the Earth. For example, when we want to dig a well, we don't have to dig out the earth. We simply take a stone of suitable size and increase its weight so that it sinks into the earth until it reaches the desired depth. With the help of the Ark of the Covenant, this enormous source of power, we can also transform energies devoid of matter, as, for example, the rays of light, into matter. And inversely, we can dissolve this matter and convert it into energies active during eons of time. There will be a lot in the remains of our culture which coming generations will not understand. For example, the way we get such mirror-smooth surfaces on even the hardest stones. The joints between them fit so accurately that there isn't even a crack the size of the thickness of a hair between them. They will be greatly puzzled at how our slaves, working only by hand, have been able to cut stones so precisely. Because the sons of men make slaves of their fellow men, they will believe that we too have put slaves to work. For thousands of years it won't dawn on them that we simply dematerialize the superfluous stone on the surface and are thus able to get hairline accuracy on the edges and faces of even the hardest stones, without the slightest human effort. This is very simple. As soon as you know the true nature of the different energies, including that of matter, but this knowledge is a blessing only in the hands of a knowing person. He too knows that love means life, and hate means death. Only initiates of the highest degree can be architects. As a matter of fact, to build with slaves, we wouldn't need to be initiates. We don't work with slaves, but with the forces of nature. Food for thought? I think so. And now, back to the show.
Downloading. Otherware.
We're back with Fred Burks. You're listening to Otherware on bbsradio.com, and my name is Liz Miller. Fred, let's finish off our talk about cosmic journeys by just talking a little bit about discernment. And whenever you read a book about journeys out of the body, there's always going to be the inner skeptic that comes out and says, well, sure, this might have been during a session and it was recorded, but who's to say that it's just not her subconscious talking, that these are just figments of her imagination? How do you know for yourself when you read material of this nature that it's right, or how does it feel right to you?
I think that's a really important question, because I can read a book and feel incredibly transformed, and I can give it to my brother who comes from a very different background than me, and he'll think it's BS. So I think basically each of us has developed our own knowledge and understanding of ourselves, of life in the universe. And when we read things, we're drawing on that, and we're drawing on, you know, all the things that we believe in to see does it resonate with us or not. And the reason I can recommend this without qualification on your show, Liz, is because I know almost all of your listeners are deeply into transformation and through to empowerment and integration through love. And this book, yes, you may be skeptical of some of the things, and nothing wrong with that, but is there truth here for you? Is there something that resonates with you and expands your consciousness? And I think most of the people listening to this show who would take the time to read this book will find it very transformative, even if you don't believe some of the parts of it. I actually believe everything in it, just because of my own personal life experience, but that's just me and where I'm coming from. And it's not that I agree necessarily. I mean, maybe I would say, oh, I see why she's seeing this. I would see it slightly differently, but yeah.
Actually, speaking of the Otherware listeners, I sent out a request to everybody who's part of the Otherware Network, which is the group that I have at Yahoo Groups with the listeners, and I have had quite a lot of submissions of top 10 book lists and films that are favourites among the listeners of the show. And if you don't mind me just quickly reading out some of the top picks. These are also from past Otherware guests, I have to say. So I've had submissions from Mary Rodwell, from Alfred Weber, from Lisa Renee, and a few of the other guests, and there are still many more coming.
Great.
But we've had, as the top authors and titles, one of the most common in all of the lists was Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist. It's such a gorgeous book, and I think I read it about 20 years ago now when it very first came out. But you know,
how do you spell that name, Paulo?
Paulo Coelho, C-O-E-H-L-O.
Oh, yes, I know about him.
Yes,
he's a regular in Ode Magazine, one of the most inspiring magazines.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's actually one of your favorite mags, isn't it?
Yes.
So that one definitely topped the list, along with The Conversations with God series by Neil Donald Walsh. Also, Richard Talbot's Holographic Universe.
Yes,
was
amazing book.
Very high on very many people's lists. And we also had Greg Braden and Deepak Chopra, as well as Barbara Marciniak, being three of the other top charters in everybody's list, which was really great to see. So it was wonderful to just get a feel for what everybody else out there has read in their lives, and to see so much resonance between the listeners and myself, which was just great, as well as the past guests. But I would like to mention a few titles that I have not yet read, but now that I've seen these lists, I have to get myself a copy of. And one of those was the Urantia book.
Alfred Weber
recommended this. And what do you know about this book?
Well, I'll tell you, that book, first off, you have to really spend some time with it. I think it's amazing, powerful information, but not everybody's going to resonate with it. They use some language that's difficult to wrap your mind around at times. But if you can open to it, what I believe that is there's this group of beings from another planetary system who are quite a bit further along in the sort of expansive evolutionary process than we are. They've been monitoring the Earth, and they basically give a big picture look at what's been happening on Earth from many different levels. And it has quite a following. It's been around for, I don't know how many years, at least 50. And I have some friends who very much, this is kind of their Bible.
Yeah, well, I've heard that there are many powerful people, including Bill Clinton, who doesn't leave home without a copy.
Well, yeah, it's amazing stuff. But again, it's deep. It's about 1,800 pages, I believe. It's almost like a Bible. But boy, it's fascinating stuff if you can get into it. It's definitely got a kind of an intellectual bent, and I don't feel as much heart in it. That's my biggest complaint with it.
It's interesting that you say that.
Yeah, but it's still great material.
Okay, and on another totally different tip, there's a book that Candace Pert wrote, and she was featured in the What the Bleep documentary/film, and it's called Molecules of Emotions. I absolutely want to get this book. Have you heard about it?
I've heard of it, but not much.
It's fantastic to get a little bit of background on the biology of chemicals that our bodies produce when we experience different sets of emotions. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring this up is because I want to spend a little bit of time during our dialogue talking about love and fear, because basically those are the only two emotions, aren't they?
Well, I think we could do a whole show on that, Liz.
Yeah, we could definitely do a whole show on that. And so if there's anybody out there who's listening who would like to investigate the biology of, you know, our emotional lives and how we are so governed by these chemicals that we produce and how we can very quickly shift our attitudes and our emotional states by creating new chemicals to be released from our, you know.
Right, by choosing which chemicals we want to release.
Yeah.
That we actually do have some control, even though you can't control your emotions completely, but we can actually, by having deep intentions, resonate so that certain chemicals can be transformed.
Yeah, definitely. Mary Rodwell recommended a book called Journey of Souls by Dr. Michael Newton, which I've never heard of before, but sounds fabulous, and it was actually number one on her list.
Mm.
And Lord of the Rings was actually another one that
featured
very highly. In terms of films, the favourite films from all of the people who submitted were What the Bleep, Close Encounters, E.T. and Contact.
Great.
Do you have any that you'd like to add?
Well, if there's one writing, by far the most powerful writing for me, has been something called The Wingmakers, but don't Google it because the Wingmakers website has been corrupted. But to get the Wingmakers material, go to wanttoknow.info or go to one of the other websites I manage, weboflove.org, and look for something that's called either Transformation or Principles of Transformation. And this has been by far the single most transformational material I've seen. And it's only 17 pages worth of material.
So tell me why it's the most transformational information that you've seen.
Because it's all about, and it's interesting that they rarely use the word love. They use the word nurturance, which I think is smart because some people are triggered, like love, you know, it's mixed up with erotic love. But anyway, it's all about not being in denial of the darkness, but realizing that it's all part of a bigger plan, a bigger picture, and putting it all into perspective in a way that's just mind-boggling to me, how they could do it so succinctly and yet so powerfully.
Hmm.
And what on the websites, we have summaries. It's 17 pages of material divided into two parts, and each part we just have a two-page summary. Let me just read one paragraph from it.
Sure.
Just show you kind of some of the beauty of what it says. This is the second, two-page summary of the second part, and it's called Shifting Paradigms. The wisdom and understanding of our own inner essence is a beacon that draws us inward toward ever deeper connection with the divine. Yet rather than looking for divine wisdom within, most people have long preferred to look outward, thus maintaining a dependence upon a vast hierarchy that stretches between the individual and the divine. In all our wanderings away from the divine, humankind has obscured its most compelling features through a persistent belief in limitations defined by this vast hierarchy. The divine dances outside of the confines of any hierarchical structures. It is complete within itself and has a singular purpose of demonstrating the collective potential of all life within the universe. It is the archetype of perfection. It is the standard bearer of each soul's innate design and ultimate destiny. The essence of the divine is far beyond mental conception, so that humanity's tendency is to resort to the limiting language of the hierarchical paradigm to define it. So you can see it's really putting into context how we often are misperceiving some very big expanded things.
It's wonderful, actually, how it does that. I really loved the sentence about how the divine dances outside of hierarchical structures.
Yeah, the divine dances outside of the confines of any hierarchical structures.
It's so true.
And this is on my favorites list, by the way. Maybe I should just tell people really quick. If you want to see my list of favorites, poems, magazines, websites, books, it's at www.webofloveorg/Fred's List, FREDSLIST. So webofloveorg/Fred's List to see, and that has the Wingmakers material on there.
Also, you've completed a new website, I believe, that is specifically has been built for the Planetary Transformation Team.
Actually, I'm just starting on it. It's not even up yet.
Oh, okay. Can
but
you tell us
that's something
about
to come
that?
Up. Very briefly, because there's so many things we want to talk about, I'm really excited now about developing a website specifically for everybody who identifies themselves as being here on this planet at this time to help transform the planet to a different paradigm, a more expanded paradigm. And there'll be lots of great stuff on there. So this, most of the websites I've made so far are developed for the general public. This one will be specifically, not excluding anybody, but anybody who feels like they're here and that's their main purpose, to help transform the planet. It'll be filled with powerful, inspiring, and transformational materials.
That's great. We can never have enough of those. So, Fred, let's move on to talking about Path of Empowerment, because that's the one that I've been on for the last month.
Yeah.
How much have you read of it?
I'm over halfway through.
Oh, great. What do you think so far?
I think it's a great book, and this is one. So some of our listeners will be very familiar with the Pleiadians.
That's right.
And anybody who resonates strongly with Pleiadian material, this is a book you must have. I have to tell you, I love the Pleiadian material, and I have certain criticisms, which I don't necessarily need to get into, but I think it's very empowering in general, and you're passionate about this book, so please tell us what it is for you.
Well, I've been a very big fan of the Pleiadian material that has come through not only Barbara Marciniak, but Barbara Hanclow and Amora Kuan Yin, and the information that comes through is often peppered with so much humour and light that it's kind of hard not to like it. And there's also so much truth, for me anyway, that I find in the writings, so much wisdom. And this book, Path of Empowerment, is a little bit like a manual for how to get through what they refer to as the nanosecond, which is this 25-year period between 1987, which was marked by
Harmonic convergence,
of course.
Yep.
And 2012, which is the ending of the Mayan calendar.
So if I can just correct it, it's really important. It's not the ending of the Mayan calendar. It's a shifting into a brand new phase, like moving into the year 10,000.
That's right. Thank you for correcting that.
Sure. It's just important because that's a misconception that goes around the line.
It is. And so according to the Pleiadian teachings, this is a moment in time where we are literally affecting future timelines, past timelines, our whole genetic lineage. We're affecting parallel realities, alternate realities, other dimensions, and it's all happening in this theater of the third dimensional Earth plane. And so we are really affecting so many different levels of reality as we try to navigate our way through these times in the most empowered way that we can. And one of the best things that you can have at a time like this is a book like Path of Empowerment. And there's one thing that I absolutely have to read out for the listeners, which is about power. And power is something that has become generally pretty distorted in our current world, along with money and sex. And so when we think of how best to live our lives, the question of our own power and how we use our will in the world for the betterment of all is a very, very important question that we all need to ponder on. But first of all, we need to understand what our power is. And so if I can quickly find my notes. The current climate of consciousness opens you and your world to many discoveries of invisible powers, the power in the ether, the power in the body, and the power of intention are a composite of very old yet essential steps along the path to understanding life. There is a saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, implying perhaps that the dangers of power mean power is something to avoid altogether. And I think all of us at some stage in our lives have kind of wanted to run away from our own power because we are powerful beings, and it can scare us a little bit. In actuality, you are birthed from power. You are conceived in this reality through the power of sex, and an act of innate personal power propels you to leave your mother's womb at the appropriate time. The nature of existence is imbued with power, and so are you. You are a powerful being. You cannot avoid dealing with power, and when it comes to power, you will always be tested to see if you will abuse it and misuse it. Power is a test of character, and the choice is always yours. In one small cell, there is more potential power than you could use in your entire lifetime. However, global consciousness must first demonstrate its acceptance of ultimate responsibility for handling that kind of power before the gates to the mysteries of the multiverse are opened. It's certainly a good way to think about the responsibility that we have with the personal power that we all wield.
Right. And if I can just mention, too, I think people who read this book and who are operating from a, what I call a transformed view of the world, will find incredible resonance. There are just so many kernels of truth peppered throughout this book in a way that just go, wow. And it's rare. I don't think I've ever seen it all put together in one book in such a way.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. It sort of hits you every time you turn the page. It's just there. Every time you turn the page, you read another sentence and there's another revelation or another way of putting something that you've already intuited but had never consciously brought forth. Mm-hmm. And I think that any time you come across material that can do that for you, treasure it. One of the best things that this book was able to distill for me was about how we broadcast our frequencies or a particular energy out into the ether that then interacts with everything else out there and melds and creates ripples and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just read out a little bit here about that. You inserted yourself with great care into your chosen life. Deciding to be here is an achievement in itself. However, understanding what is unfolding around you is an even greater accomplishment. Billions of people have come here to play a part in this great drama, to recognize and remember that they are energetic beings whose thoughts, feelings, and emotions create the world they meet. Consciously learning to recognize frequencies and then producing those you want is an underlying key to the game. Being able to read and communicate with the life energies of your environment is a worthy goal for all humanity. And considering that the goal behind this show, which is called Otherware, I think that it's so important to emphasize just how much we are here to do that, to activate all of these inner technologies that are able to sense higher frequencies that are more subtle than the ones that we're used to dealing with in 3D, that were actually designed to pick up these intuitions and perceptions that we can access through our multidimensional anatomy. I found that so wonderful to read, and we have to be responsible for what we're broadcasting. Do you know, have you seen the DVD, What is the Secret, that's kind of caused an internet sensation?
The Secret,
yes.
Which is available free on Google, by the way.
Oh, that's great to know. Thanks
for letting us know. Yes, if you go to Google and Google Video and hit put in The Secret, it's available free now.
Great. That is another one of these materials that has encapsulated so much of this wisdom for how to navigate your way through these times. The Secret basically is something that the Pleiadians and many others have been telling us for a long time now, and that is what we broadcast creates our reality.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we think, feel, and do is.
And also that it's about our intentions. And when we create powerful intentions and put emotion and passion behind it, it puts powerful forces into effect that have an impact on our entire lives and entire universe.
Absolutely. So was there anything that you've read so far in Path of Empowerment, Fred, that you'd like to share with the audience?
I just would like to mention that there's a number of exercises in there for people who like to do meditations and sort of guided imagery type things. I imagine a good way to do it is you can actually read with your own voice some of the meditations they have in there onto a tape and then play it back and relax and bring yourself through some wonderful, empowering guided meditations.
Oh, they're gorgeous. I really loved the meditations that were in this book. What are some of the other transformative materials that you'd like to share with the audience, Fred?
There's an amazing magazine that I'm so thrilled that somebody recommended to me a couple of years ago called Ode. And Ode has been published for quite a few years in Europe, but only about 2 years ago they started coming out with an English edition. And what I love about this magazine is it's not at all trying to suppress or hide the sort of dark side information, the disempowering information. And yet it almost always takes the attitude that I prefer to take, is that it's all a part of the transformation. And this magazine is all about inspiration and transformation. And they do it in such a wonderful way that's not, you know, talking down to us, but really inviting us to step up, that every time I get the magazine, it's like, yes, I'm excited to look at some of the articles. And occasionally, some of them are so great that I'll even post them to my email list. And by the way, I manage several email lists with over 3,000 subscribers. And Ode is just a fantastic magazine.
How can people subscribe to those lists?
Go again to weboflove.org/Fred's List, FredsList. And there you'll see it says Most Inspiring Magazine, and just click on the link there and it'll take you there.
And speaking of inspiring magazines, one magazine that I can't wait for actually it's 2 months that it comes out, it's bi-monthly, is Nexus Magazine, which is published here in Australia.
Yes.
And it topped many of the lists. Mary Rodwell said that it was her favourite magazine. It's definitely my favourite magazine. And next week, Duncan Rhodes, the editor, is going to be our guest.
Yes, Nexus is by far, in my opinion, the best magazine for understanding the deep cover-ups. It's the only magazine that I have seen that's currently being published that really goes into all the deep levels of things that are being hidden from us, but also does come from a spiritual perspective.
Oh, it does. And there's also another magazine published here in Australia. If you have never heard of it before, it's called New Dawn. It actually looks quite similar to Nexus and comes out every couple of months as well. So if you ever see that around, it often has some great articles, and it actually has a sort of deeper metaphysical aspect to it. So if you're not finding that enough in Nexus, you can definitely get that in New Dawn.
Great. I'd like to check that out.
Yeah, I think you'd like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to take another break. So, Fred, let's come back and talk about your Simple Keys for a Fuller Life, because they've just been revised on the website. Is it Web of Love or Moment of Love that you can find
out? It's on both of them.
It's on both of them. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to go into some more music. This is another brand new release from King Street. It's by Steel Vibe, and it's the main vocal mix of ESP, in brackets, I Can See You. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Otherwhere. My guest is Fred Burks, and my name is Liz Miller.
Feel me.
is another excerpt from Barbara Marciniak's Path of Empowerment, one of the books that we're focusing on this week. It's subtitled Pleiadian Wisdom for a World in Chaos, and it's published by Inner Ocean. You can find them on the web at innerocean.com. Great change is occurring within the substrata of your cells. On a subatomic level, your body is being deeply affected by the energies emanating from a vast array of celestial influences that are providing information in the form of light-encoded frequencies. These energy codes are meant to trigger new levels of awareness to surface with stupendous momentum. As a result of this activity, you release pent-up psychic and emotional energies from your DNA code, which in turn attract into your life the very issues that are in need of resolution. The issues will manifest for you in physical reality because as the great transformation of consciousness is played out on the lines of time, your physical body becomes the arena for your healing at all levels. The human body functions in a fashion that is still unrecognized by the conventional medical sciences. From the larger perspective, you have been convinced that you are less than what you are. Each version of the human form is a unique code-reading device. You occupy a physical body in third-dimensional reality because this is the method, one of the foundational protocols used to experience and to explore the nuances of physicality. The so-called material world is based on a specific vibration of energy, and the specific tuning of your perceptions holds the mass agreement together. As you are learning, or may well already know, you are much more than just your physical body. The pressure from the energy acceleration is affecting your consciousness physically, mentally, emotionally, psychically, spiritually, and cosmically. Each area of self is like a finger on your hand, individually capable of movement, yet so much more effective when working in cooperation with the rest of your body. And the ability to both give and receive love in all its many shades of splendor holds the true key to healing. And that is exactly what we're going to be doing right at the end of the show as Fred Burks and myself guide you into a beautiful web of love meditation that I really hope that you stick around for. If you would like to join the Otherware Network and receive a weekly update on upcoming guests, as well as exchange thoughts and cutting-edge information with some of the coolest people on the planet, that's what I think, it's free, and all you have to do to register is go to my blog at otherware.blogspot.com, where you'll find a link on my sidebar. Of course, you can always see who's coming up at the bbsradio.com website, where you can also find my bio page. And don't forget that next week, Duncan Rhodes, editor of Nexus magazine, will be appearing on the program. He is a fascinating man who has his finger right on the pulse of so much alternative news, and I'm very much looking forward to our chat. He will, in fact, be kicking off a whole month of Australian guests. The week after, we'll be speaking with someone I've wanted to bring onto the show since it began. His name is David John Oates, and he's the creator of Reverse Speech, a revolutionary way of picking our brains to find out what we're really thinking. And it works so well, the technology is even being used by the police to catch criminals when they lie during interviews. And well-known anti-nuclear activist Dr. Helen Caldicott will also be appearing on the show, so I think you can see why I feel so good about where Otherware will take you over the coming month.
And we're joined by Fred Burks. He's the creator of the Web of Love meditation that we will shortly be moving into with Fred, who'll be guiding us into that, which I can't wait for, as well as the creator of the Moment of Love and InspiredCommunity.org websites and co-creator of the WantToKnow.info website. And Fred, one of the great things that you have up on the net that you have written is a very concise list of a few points that you call the simple keys for a fuller life, which are basically a distillation of all of the wisdom that you've picked up along the way from the sounds of it, because it's pretty complete.
Mm-hmm.
And you've recently revised it. Would you tell the listeners a bit more about that?
Sure. As I've kind of mentioned, I feel like my life has been so incredibly blessed and guided in powerful ways. And it was a number of years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, I was just had a little minor transformative event. I just said, oh, my God, I am just so thankful for everything that I've been given. And suddenly it just came to me. I put out the question, so how can I give back? I'm given so much, how can I give back more? And it came through, write a short pamphlet about what you do that you've learned, you know. And so, wow, that's a great idea. Because I had known, I have certain key, simple intentions that I run my life by that I think are just incredibly, that for me have been incredibly transformative. And I can tell so many things that have come out of these. And so I sat down, and it took me a couple of years, but I came up with a relatively short, I think it's about 8 pages if you print it out, a pamphlet titled Simple Keys to a Fuller Life, which just lists 4 basic simple keys and gives some simple ideas on how to put it into practice. And just recently, the change that I made is I realized that most people don't have a lot of time these days, and so I like to try to summarize everything down into 1 or 2 pages. And so just recently I took this 8-page piece and summarized it down into a 2-page summary, which is also titled Simple Keys to a Fuller Life. And you can find a link to that on the weboflove.org/Fred's List, or just go to momentoflove.org or weboflove.org and click on Keys to Life or Simple Keys to Life. And it's 2 pages, the 4 simple keys, just so you know real quick, what's best for all. We've talked about that, being aligned with what's best for all of us and all beings. Opening divine guidance is the 2nd key. Acceptance and understanding, accepting ourselves, understanding ourselves, and then accepting all others around us and understanding them. And the final key is love and empowerment, love and empowering ourselves and others. So very basic, simple things, and yet incredibly transformational, and I think you'll like some of the ideas even on that 2-page summary.
Can we quickly just go through some of the points, because I think it's really important to sort of subtitle those headings, and I want to pick out just a couple of things. And one of the things that you've talked about and that we've touched on before is our power to make choices. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do in your life when you need to make a choice? What are the questions that you ask yourself that help you make the choice?
Well, for me, it's always very simple. I have been confronted with incredibly fear-inducing situations because I'm open to this. I know that's a powerful way of learning. I actually invite, one of my sayings is, recognize fear as an invitation to growth. So I want the fear to arise. And when it comes, what I always do, I say, okay, this is scary. I know this could have big ramifications. And so I always come back to, okay, all I want, and I'm so clear on this, this by far is my clearest, deepest intention, all I want is what's best for all involved. All I want is what's best for all beings in this universe. And I just open to that, and almost always then I get some clarity. And the key point is that even if I make a choice that later seems like it might not have been the best choice, I did it with a clear heart, a clear mind, and a clear intention. And so then I don't have to feel any guilt, and I can just say, okay, and I can learn from that. So everything can be used for transformation.
And when we open up to divine guidance, tell me about some of the ways that divine guidance can come into our lives and the forms that divine guidance can take.
Well, I know, Liz, that a lot of your listeners have wonderful meditative practices and prayer practices. And to me, it's about getting conscious and inviting the guidance in. If you've never done it before, of course, it just takes the courage. For me, I had to get over my own arrogance and thinking I didn't really need guidance. For a long time, I didn't ask for guidance clearly. Until I was 19, I had a big transformation. But it's about opening up to what's best in communicating with our guides and how do we work with guides and make sure that we get guides who are really empowering to us. And there's a few ideas on this, particularly in the longer version. The shorter version just has is really short. But in the 8-page version, you'll see some ideas about how to tap into guidance.
You know, some of the divine guidance that comes to me, well, I see everything in my life actually as a form of divine guidance, that everything
Beautiful.
That presents itself is somewhat symbolic of whatever mm-hmm. is going on inside me. and life is just mirroring that back to me. And so whenever I ask for divine guidance, I might find it in a magazine. There might be a headline at the supermarket shelf, and I just happen to see it, and it says exactly what I need to know at that
time.
It can really come to you in so many different ways. It can be a person that you meet on the bus for 5 minutes.
You might overhear a conversation, and it hits you. It's like, oh, my God, that's the answer to my question.
Yeah. And really, it's about getting to a point where you trust that.
Mm-hmm.
And you accept that this could be another mm-hmm. form of divine guidance. And now, loving and accepting ourselves, this is a huge thing, because so many of us find it difficult, for whatever reason, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you love and accept yourself, and how do you get to a place where you can do that without question?
Well, I have to acknowledge my own core issue, which is arrogance. And so people who tend to run arrogance as their main issue or theme in their life, as me, I was almost born loving myself, almost too highly. So I'm not the best person to talk to about, you know, how to transform that, although I can certainly give some ideas. But I think it's about remembering that we're all manifestations of that same divine source. And that divine source is an absolute beautiful radiance of interconnected love. And that's where we come from. And when you get that and know that we all have that within us, we all have that divine spark, just remember that, and I believe that can be a wonderful transformative tool.
Yes, and you actually mentioned that one of the easiest ways to do that is to look at a child.
Yes.
And to see how that is it's there. And it's
mm-hmm.
only when that child grows up, and if it hasn't been supported or loved unconditionally, that light becomes obscured.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there always from the beginning. And if we all remember that we were all children at one stage,
right.
that child is still alive within us today.
And yet, for reasons that we won't go into right now, we all, for some reason, choose to have that shut down as we grow up.
Mm.
It's shut down by the people around us, by our parents telling us that we're not good enough, or telling us whatever messages that are disempowering so that they can somehow feel better. That we take on this persona, we take on this mask, and it's a matter of choosing to integrate, move beyond that mask, and become all that we are.
That's right. And so as we love and accept ourselves, we then extend that to others, and our whole world changes as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And then we
yep.
get love and empowerment. And one of the most beautiful points that you make in the love and empowerment section is that it's just great if you can do your best to empower the shining being behind the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And to just remember that at the core of each one of us is a beautiful being that
right.
just loves and wants to be loved.
Right. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I really hate this person. I just can't. There's no way I can, you know, try to send love to them. But then here's just the two sentences I think I wrote on that. Remember that beneath that mask, beneath that personality that you hate, is a shining divine essence. While acknowledging those parts you don't like, we don't want to be in denial of it, acknowledging the parts of the mask that you really don't like, do your best to empower the shining being hidden beneath the mask or personality that you don't like. You can always choose to love and empower the divine spark within all beings.
Well, those are great keys for a fuller life, Fred. Thank you so much for sharing.
My
those.
Pleasure. It's just a joy to be able to share some of what I've been given.
So we're just about out of time, but we have got just enough time to do our wonderful Web of Love meditation.
All right.
And I want to just quickly take a little break and let the listeners get comfortable. So right now, if you would like to participate, we invite you all to please find a quiet space and make sure that you won't be disturbed for the next half an hour or so. If you need to, if you're feeling a little chilly, make sure that you've got something warm on or a blanket over your body, as your metabolism will slow down as we move into the relaxation. You'll cool down a little bit, so it's good to have something to wrap over you and so that you can feel like you're in a cocoon. And unplug the phone or turn it off and then get comfortable, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes to move into the Web of Love together. Thank you.
And now, if you're ready to begin our work together with the relaxation meditation, I'd like to begin our meditation with some help from the Pleiadians and Path of Empowerment. They tell us that you can empower yourself and set the reality that you want into motion by taking time to communicate with the subconscious and unconscious levels of your mind. So first, slow down and focus on your breath. Gently separate your jaw and relax your tongue, and allow deep, rhythmic breathing to relax your body and open your mind to an enhanced state of awareness. Continue to breathe deep and imagine your body fully energized with golden spirals of energy. Now visualize a wave of energy, like a gentle spring shower, sweeping over the top of your head, down to the bottom of your feet. Any tension that you've been carrying will be washed away, leaving you feeling fresh, clear, and free to proceed unencumbered into the depths of your being. Clear your throat, straighten your spine, and open the front of your chest by rotating your shoulders backward in alignment with your spine. Now use your imagination to visualize a vibrant influx of golden spirals of energy dancing their way into your body as you inhale oxygen and life force energy deep into the bottom of your lungs. Consciously follow the feelings of expansion and contraction in your lungs, as well as the outward and inward movement of your diaphragm. Picture the swirling spirals of energy easily speeding through the walls of your lungs to enrich your bloodstream with the latest cosmic codes of consciousness. As you continue to breathe in a deep, rhythmic manner, direct your consciousness into your body's inner world to discover the versions of reality where your cells, molecules, atoms, and subatomic particles participate. Whom or what are they communicating with? Use the deep rhythms of your breath to entrain with your cells. Allow your cells to show you what they know.
Said, I'd like to hand over to Fred Burks, our guest this week, as we move together into the web of love.
So let's all take a nice, full, deep breath together. And again, opening your lungs, feeling how it feels to breathe air in and fill your lungs completely up. Just let them go full, 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 and then slowly go out. Realizing that this same air has been very breathed by the most holy beings who ever walked the face of the planet, by all of the wonderful people. They're our models and teachers. We share this breath with them. I just continue taking full, deep breaths, feeling your lungs expand. feeling the joy of just being able to breathe and that, how that sustains and empowers our lives. Allowing the breath to flow out through your entire body and energize you. Energize your whole body, your energetic being. And as we continue with this slow, deep, empowering breath, I just put some intention behind it. This is a very short, simple meditation that comes from the Web of Love website. Two parts on the in-breath while we continue slow, deep breathing. On the in-breath, your sacred love flows into me. Out breath, my sacred love flows out to you. So as you continue with slow, deep, relaxing breathing, on each in breath, just feel and welcome your sacred love flows into me. You might start by imagining somebody you already share a deep love with, imagining that person right there with you, breathing in their love. Your sacred love flows into me.
And my sacred love flows out to you.
Imagining different people that you feel that connection with. Imagining different people that you want to feel that connection with.
Imagining all of the people in our circle, the Otherware circle of lights, joining together at the heart, connected at the heart. You can imagine that a line of love and light is extending outwards from your heart, from the left-hand side, entering the right-hand side of the heart of the person to your left in the circle, and then following that line of light through all of the other hearts, and feeling it as it returns to yours, in through the right side. Circle of lights made up of all of us in all of the different time zones and locations on Earth.
And just remembering that we are all interconnected, that every being on this planet has a heart, that every being has a place in their heart that just wants to love and be loved. We can connect with that place of love, with everyone on the planet, forming this beautiful web of love, which we can be a powerful part of, energizing, allowing it to energize us, allowing ourselves to energize the web as it grows stronger day by day, with more and more people joining it, consciously strengthening this beautiful web.
And as you continue to breathe, and you feel the rhythm that you're setting up in your body, feel your consciousness aligning to all of the greater rhythms of life, of the cosmos, those grand cycles in nature that your breathing aligns you to and reminds you that you are a part of now and forever. To open your heart even more fully, allowing the feelings of love and empowerment to resonate throughout your being, throughout our circle and the greater web. As we focus on the web, feel it strengthening, growing in light and power, and bring that back to you, to your own sense of empowerment and purpose.
Feel the beautiful stirrings that blow from deep within, wanting to spread out, energize all.
And in the quietness, hold this vision. See yourself bathing in this light, being of the light, being the light. As you allow yourself to give in and let go more and more, feel a beautiful sense of lightness and expansion, filling your entire being so that you feel your consciousness moving far beyond the confines of your physical body. Opening up to the oneness of all life. Opening up to the essence of all life, which is love.
Opening up to the essence of all life, which is love. Remember the love that Liz and I feel. I know we have tremendous love that we want to share with you. And all the people listening are here. We're always there. We're always with you. You just choose to open up and feel our presence.
We thank you for being here.
Thank you for being with us at this beautiful, magical time on our planet.
Thank you for holding the light and anchoring it here on Earth.
Thank you.
deepen once again and become aware of your physical body. Noticing now the changes that you've created and the deep feelings of peace that reside in your heart and within all of our hearts through working in this way together. Allow the image of our circle of lights and the web of love to fade, but allow the frequencies that you've generated and the waves of love that we've created together to remain. To ripple right through the quantum field.
You take this with you all the time, it's always there.
And when you're ready, you can breathe a little more deeply and move your fingers and toes. And sigh a breath out. And come back.
Might even open your eyes and notice if there's a little bit more sparkle around you. You're in the same physical place and yet you've energized yourself. There it is, look, sparkle all around. And thank you, Liz Miller, for this beautiful show and this beautiful place to share in this way and for sharing your love, allowing me to share mine so beautifully.
It's a total privilege and a pleasure, Fred. Thank you so much for contributing your incredible energy and love to our broadcasts. We always love it when you're here, so thank you so much.
I love being with you and your listeners. Love you, Liz.
Love you, Fred. And we love you, all of you who are listening.
We love all of you. Kissing your heart.
So, have an amazing, empowered week and times ahead, everybody. And we'll be back again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Here on bbsradio.com.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.